Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series on the Holy Spirit, and our talk today is by the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, entitled The Ministry of Jesus. The readings are taken from Acts 4, verses 23 to 31, and John 14, verses 6 to 14. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The first reading is Acts 4, verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John had been arrested. Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from John chapter 14, verses 6 to 14. Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Which one is this one?
In 1897, Kansas preacher and author named Charles Cheldon put together a book that then would become, In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? And that phrase, What Would Jesus Do?, became trendy among Christians in the 90s. You might recognize that. Particularly young people who would be seen wearing a bracelet of that kind, with the initials WWJD. Anyone remembering that? Yes. Anyone still having one? Yes. Huh? You have the CD. But the main thought behind that movement was to, before any action, take a time to pause, to pray with the question, what would Jesus do if he was me? What would Jesus do in this situation? Now, to model our lives around Jesus' life and action, well, we need to start with to know what did Jesus actually do when he was on earth. To discern what he would do today, well, we need to familiarize ourselves with what he did. So what did Jesus do? Well, we have historical accounts in the Bible from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we know that around 30 years of, when he was 30, Jesus started a teaching ministry. He was known as a rabbi, teacher, or master. And for the following 3 years, he claimed through his works and his actions and his words to perfectly express the intentions and the character of God, whom he called his Father. And he also claimed that through him, the promise of God's kingdom, God's rule, was about to happen. You might be familiar with the start of his ministry, where he says, quoting from the Old Testament, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me too." And that's what for 3 years he was to do. And it's interesting that it is grounded in the reality of God's Holy Spirit. The Spirit is upon me and he has commissioned me too. And that's already then sends us a signal of what we are called to be and to do as a church. To be commissioned by the Holy Spirit to enter similar works, similar realities than what Jesus did. And what did he do? Preach the gospel to the poor. And this idea of poor is not those who don't have much money, but it was the simple people living in Israel. Normal, ordinary people without any power or status. People with messy lives. The word on the street at the time of Jesus was that Jesus was a friend of sinners. That's the kind of people he spent his time with. He focused his teaching, his life, his ministry among the least, the last, and the lost. To heal the brokenhearted, to speak a message of deliverance, people's lives were transformed through Jesus' ministry, his works, and his words. To recover the sight of the blind, not just physical blindness that would people did experience healing from, but more importantly, the blindness to God's presence, to God's actions, to God's character, our spiritual blindness. To set at liberty those that are bruised. Another translation says, to set the burdened and battered free. That was the ministry of Jesus, and that is the ministry of his people. That when people come to this place, this church, or any other church in Taunton or around the world, that anyone comes with a burden will feel he has been or she has been able to at least bring that burden and feel a bit lighter coming out of this place. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. To tell to others, God loves you. His plans are good for you. And so through his life and actions, Jesus showed God's compassion, God's forgiveness, God's healing, God's beauty, God's power, God's truth, and God's relentless love. That Jesus acted out God's character intention is made clear in our reading this morning. Philip, one of the 12 disciples, has a question for Jesus. He said, Lord, or Master, or Teacher, or Rabbi, show us the Father, show us God, and that will be enough for us. What a question. That's a question a lot of people have. Well, where is God? Where is God in our world? Show us. Jesus responds, Philip, I have been with you for 3 years. Don't you get it? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. The words that I say to you are not my own words, but the very words of God. I do not speak of my own authority. I speak on God's authority. And the works that I do are not my own works. They are the Father's works, who lives in me. He is doing the work. And so Jesus continued to say, Philip, in reality, I and God are one. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And so what is clear from this account is that to see Jesus is to see God. To know Jesus is to know God. Jesus' words are God's words, and Jesus' actions are God's actions. So when someone asks you or me, where is God? We can start with saying, well, let's look at who Jesus is, what Jesus did. Because to see him, and to see him means to understand, to realize who he is and what he does, is to see God. If you want to know God, know Jesus. If you want to hear the words of God, listen to the words of Jesus. If you want to see the kind of God, the kind of action God longs for his creation, look at the actions of Jesus. In the same passage, Jesus explains that what he has been doing, he will continue to do through those who ask and respond in faith and trust. In other words, that the character and the intentions of God will be seen and experienced after his death and resurrection among those who put their trust in him. And so that's what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I tell you, or in other words, you can count on this. Whoever believes in me will also do the works that I am doing. And he will do even greater things than those, or than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name. So that the Father, so that God will be glorified, that his character and his intention will be reflected in your lives, your individual lives, and the lives as a faith community. Actually, you can't really see that. It says on the top there, to proclaim afresh, and I'll explain why. In 2014, a group of newly ordained deacons, myself included, made a public declaration. It is called the Declaration of Ascent. And in the Church of England, deacons, priests, and bishops have to make that declaration at ordination. And on each occasion, when we take a new appointment or when we renew our vows, it contains a commitment to proclaim the Christian faith afresh in our generation, bringing the grace and the truth of Jesus in our community, the community we serve, and making him known by words and actions. And while deacons and priests and bishops may have a leading role or maybe a more public role It is the duty of every believer, every Christian, to proclaim and demonstrate God's intention and power in your own circumstances, in your own lives. And the good news in our reading today is that Jesus assures you and assures everyone who believes that he or she will continue to do the kind of works Jesus has done. And there are two types of works that are based on what we see in Jesus. They're works of proclamation. Jesus taught and spoke words. And they're works of demonstration, that the presence of Jesus among us is real through the Holy Spirit. He has given us gifts to show in real time that God is alive and present. And so today our works are works of proclamations and works of demonstration. And in the passage, we hear that Jesus says, you will do greater work. Now, that's not that we will do greater miracles or greater signs than Jesus. What he meant is that there were still works that needed to happen that hadn't happened with Jesus as he was on earth. His death on the cross, his victory over death and sin, his resurrection, his ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit. So the greater works are, because I'm going to the Father, now the ministry that I've started, it's not going to be limited to one person in one place at one time, Jesus. It's going to be multiplied through all the believers. All the believers now will do in one way or another the kind of ministry Jesus started. And so our message is the message of the cross. We speak that on the cross Jesus dies our death. He takes on himself the consequences of our rebellion, our sins, so that we can be forgiven and free. He opens the way to God. In him we find forgiveness. We are reconciled. We receive new life. It is a message about the bodily resurrection of Jesus, that death could not hold him. He could not be controlled or retained by death because of his perfect obedience and his sinless life. One says, God untied the death ropes and raised him to life. And he was seen on several occasions by his close followers, and on one occasion by more than 500 people all together. Jesus reminds us also today that he is not just an option among many. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way to God. He is life. Those who believe in him, who start trusting in him, receive the assurance, the strong conviction that the sure knowledge that their lives are transformed and are kept safe for what is to come. You see, the Christian hope is not just life after death. The Christian hope is what happened to Jesus' body, his resurrection, bodily resurrection, will happen to every believer when God is going to put to right his creation once and for all. When he comes back and transform his good creation so that we can live real, full life in his presence. And he is the truth. He speaks words of truth and comfort into our hearts and minds. Now, saying that in our culture today can result in a certain degree of mockery. Really? Do you believe that someone who was dead came back to life? Or opposition or disapproval, really? Is there only one way? No, we shouldn't be surprised, and we should take notice of Jesus' own word. In this world, as Christians, you will have tribulations, you will have challenges, but take heart, I have overcome this world. And in our second reading, we have an example of the boldness that John and Peter had because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. If you read chapter 3, you hear about what they did. They were proclaiming Jesus being alive, the resurrection, with bold and strong words. And through their obedience, also a sign happened. A person was healed. And they were pointing, it's not because we're special that this happened, it's Jesus who did that ministry among you. And through their obedience, they were thrown into prison. And they appeared at a court. And in our reading, they were just released. And it's interesting what happened next. John and Peter went back to their faith community. They shared what had happened. And in reaction, the faith community prayed, not for protection. God, please protect us. Make sure we're safe. No, they said, give us even more boldness. Help us to be even more effective. This was the content of their prayer. Consider their threat. Look at our circumstances and give us the ability to speak your word with great boldness. That's about speaking God's word with clarity, insight, conviction, that it makes sense to people. And making sense might mean for some, this is good news, I want it. For others, I don't want to hear it, and that might bring opposition. And the other one is to stretch your hands to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. May there be signs of God's presence among us. It's not just words and proclamation, it's also demonstrations. And your life is in itself a demonstration of God's grace, of God's power, how God has and continues to transform you. So we are called, like Jesus, to works of proclamation and works of demonstration. And through that prayer, we hear that there was a physical manifestation. The place shook. Now, we don't know if physically the place shook or they were so shaken inside that, you know, they felt everything is shaking. I wonder, you know, it might not be a good idea for a big church like this to shake, but who knows? The most important is that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, the very presence, the energy, the certainty that God was with them. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Can we pray that kind of prayer for St. James as a faith community? Can you pray that prayer for your own life? Faithfulness depends on our willingness to respond to the guidance and the presence of the Holy Spirit and to allow his works, that's demonstration, and his words, that's proclamation, the works and the words of Jesus to be expressed through us. You see, the greater thing says, I'm going to the Father to continue the work I've been doing. And I'm going to send you my helper, the Holy Spirit. That's what we've been exploring the last few months. And then there's an amazing promise. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do. You see, when we ask what Jesus would ask, when we do the kind of things that Jesus would do, when we act as Jesus would act, and when our plans and intentions are a reflection of his plans and his intentions, Jesus promises, I will make it happen. So as we come to the close of our series on the Holy Spirit, can we recommit ourselves to do the works of Jesus in our lifetime, in our community, among those God is sending us to, through the enabling power and presence of God's Spirit? Can we ask God to enable us to speak his word with boldness, with clarity, that makes sense to those around us, that he will give us insight and conviction?
And can we ask God to stretch out his hand, to heal the brokenhearted, to open our eyes to his presence and his character and his intention, to set the burden and the battered free? If I can ask the worship team to make their way, in a response we will sing very soon that we adore God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we lay our lives before him. But before we go to that song, let me conclude with a short prayer. And it's a prayer that you will find in your life group notes. And I think it's a prayer that should be part of our regular prayer individually, but also when we meet as a group. Sovereign Lord, Maker and Redeemer, fill us afresh with the enabling presence of and power of your Holy Spirit. Consider the challenges we face and enable us, your servants, to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hands to heal and perform signs through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us sing as a response.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.